We know that God can work miracles. Do we expect God to work miracles every day for His own people? Should we think that just because a man is a Christian, that the things that happen to him in his daily affairs, in his daily routine affairs, should all be special things in the sense of extraordinary, that there should be some wonder element in connection with them, some miracle, something of the miraculous? Now, we'll get an idea about this when we read in chapter 27 in the book of Acts. The principal character in this portion of Scripture we're going to be reading and thinking about is Paul the Apostle, and it's toward the end of his career. And I do not doubt that in many respects this man Paul should be counted as one of the great men in the church and in the gospel that lived at his time, in the time of the early church. And if we were going to find out whether or not things happen differently to a Christian than they do to other people, we could certainly look for that in the Apostle Paul. Now we're turning in the book of Acts in chapter 27 to an account of what happened to Paul in the course of a certain trip that he began to make. And I want you to notice how things opened up and happened to him. And all the time that they're happening to him, you can say to yourself, this man is on God's mission. This man is God's man. The Almighty God who made the heavens and the earth and controls all things and who can work a miracle anytime he wants to, has certain persons in the world serving him. And he's watching over them in his providence. He sees them, what's happening to them. Now, shall we expect that there will be a miracle in the court to change things? Now, I know that miracles can happen, but I'm just asking myself, should I look to see them happen every day of the week? Now, we'll look here in chapter 27, and let us read this incident, this whole matter, with reference to the Apostle Paul. So I'll read, and then we'll notice what we're looking for. When it was determined that we should sail into Italy... And you'll remember now that Paul and his company were over on the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea at Palestine, what is now the country of Israel and Jordan along in there. The country of Palestine, the country of Judea. That's where Paul was. And he had been taken down to Caesarea that he might be held there in court to be tried before Agrippa. And that was the situation. And he had appealed to be taken before the supreme court in the whole empire, namely the court of the Caesar's court. And he had requested that this is what should happen. So they were to move. They would have to travel then. And Paul and certain people who were with him would be treated like prisoners and would be taken over there. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, that they might go to Caesar, might go to Caesar's court, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band, sort of a police officer, we would say. He was really an army officer to this man Julius. And entering into a ship off Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. So this company set sail. And the next day we touched at Sidon. And Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. This is just a little note that's put in there, but it helps us to understand how everything's going along. By the way, as far as I've read to you, the first three verses in this 27th chapter, have you noticed that so far as Paul is concerned, no one is really paying any attention to him? The whole program is arranged under the hands of other people. And they make their plans. It involves Paul, but Paul is not involved in making of these plans. And who is Paul? He's a servant of the Lord. Who is Paul? He's an apostle. Who is Paul? He's a man of unusual, successful work in the Lord. And this is what's happening to him. He's just being shipped out to take him over to Italy. And there's nobody asking him whether he wants to go, and no one asks him how he wants to go. The plans are all made, and he's just taking him along. In other words, Paul could be counted as helpless in this whole matter. And certainly, we'd have to say that things happened to him. He didn't get to do them. They just happened to him. So in the verse 3 we read, as I read to you, Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And I'm mentioning that just because of this suggestion that there is in it. This man Julius would count with us as a man of the world. He was not one of the Christians. He wasn't even one of the Jews. But he was in a responsible position. He was the centurion. He was the kind of the police officer. And he was in charge of the detail that was holding Paul prisoner. And so when they came to this place, when they came to Sidon, we read in verse 4, chapter 27, verse 4, Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. I think it's worth saying it over, because it's evidence of the fact that Paul was more kindly treated by pagans than he was by Jews. And you'll find that true to this day. You'll find that if you want to do the right thing and you want to live in a community the way in which you really feel in your heart that the Lord wants you to live, many, many times you would find more favorable relationship with people outside the church that are right out in the world than you will with church people many times who can't forget the way it's been, and if they ever were prejudiced against you, they'll want to stay that way, that kind of thing. But at any rate, we read on. We come now to verse 4, chapter 27, verse 4. And when we had launched from thence, that's from Sidon, we sailed under Cyprus, that is beside it, past it, because the winds were contrary. We sailed on the side that wasn't so windy, we sailed on the lee side of it. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Jerusalem sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And that's how this... Here again, Paul doesn't have a word to say about it. Everything is normal. He's just being pushed along and taken away. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia. As I read these things to you, I'm not expecting that any of this information will be so specially attractive to you, but I want you to notice that, so far as Paul is concerned, the whole course of events is happening in an ordinary, routine, actual, natural fashion. That's the way these things will go. And this is a way of saying at this point, for any one of us, that routine can be right. Just doing the things just the way they come, accepting them just the way they are, can be the very road that you're to go. Sometimes, you know, we raise the question with ourselves, how can you know the will of God? And I'd like to suggest for many of you that you just ask yourself, what's the regular thing to do? What's the right thing to do? The chances are that the will of God will be very close to what would be the proper thing to do. I know that he picks you up and takes you into a new place sometimes, sets you in a situation you've never had before. But even when you're set down there, things will move along normally. Keep in mind, so far as we Christian people are concerned, that being a Christian doesn't really change anything about our relationships in this world. We've still got work to do. We've still got things to do. And we can go ahead and do those things in the routine fashion, and we don't want to leave God out, because it will be a case of the fact that God will leave these things right there before us, so for us to go ahead and make use of them and do them, just the regular routine things. Now we're coming along in chapter 27, and I want you to notice now in verses 9 and 10, there's another practical item. Now when much time was spent, that is, they stopped at this port and stopped at that port, and much time spent, meaning the summer was getting away. And when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, it's generally felt that this fast referred to was a time of public holiday which would occur at the equinox, at the time when the days and nights are the same length, when the sun is crossing over to the south, and just at this time in the northern hemisphere where we are, storms can come up. oftentimes it's very stormy, and this makes sailing dangerous because they were sailing, you know, with sails using the wind as a force to propel them. They didn't have engines, and they didn't travel by the ways we do when we generate our own power. They were dependent upon the wind blowing them along with sails. At this season of the year, just at the time of the equinox, that season of the year when days and nights are the equal length, the winds can get to be very heavy. And this is the whole, this is a weather observation. When time was much spent, when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, it was that late in the year, Paul admonished them, advised them, saying, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Paul speaks up to make this comment and to say that it's going to be dangerous. It would be a wise thing for us to keep in mind that there'll be a lot of danger and there'll be hurt and there'll be people hurt if we go ahead and sail at a time when the weather is as bad as it is. And so Paul told them. But in what Paul had to say, I wonder if you noticed that there was no personal animosity. Paul didn't have anything against the sailors. He didn't have anything against the man who owned that boat. He wasn't bitter, and he wasn't resentful. He wasn't rebellious when he gave him this advice. He actually was interested in the welfare of the whole process, of the whole project. And by the way, I don't know that this insight into the weather was anything of any special spiritual significance. It's just acquaintance with conditions that Paul had that he shared. And so they made a decision to move on. And it also was a practical decision based on personal preference, as we shall see in our next study. The biggest thing that we're getting out of this study here, just here, is that things are happening in a routine way. This is an apostle. This is a servant of the Lord. This one really matters so far as God is concerned. Yet he lives an ordinary life, a normal life, and that's the way it can be with you and with me. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to go about our daily routine work in such a way that we can use it to serve Thee. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.